Let's get into it this morning. Glory to God. I felt something when we were worshiping, and I want to start there, even though it goes with my notes. It's just not in my notes. Turn with me to Mark 11, 23. And let me read that. Well, 22 says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, this is Jesus teaching them about faith, because Peter and the disciples, they're amazed that this fig tree withered and did what Jesus said. Yeah. And it says, whosoever, so Jesus is inviting all into this. There's no, in his kingdom, there's no one better than the other. You may be given different assignments, but whosoever includes every one of us. Amen. Shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He, the person who's saying it and not doubting in his heart, shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. When you pray, you believe you receive them, not when you see them. When you pray, you believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And so as I was standing there, I heard the Lord say this to me. Preach this morning on speaking. Speaking and saying. He said, because the devil will try to take those words out of their mouths. He does not want you to speak. He does not want you to believe that by speaking with simple childlike faith in your heart, you are supposed to move mountains. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you're supposed to move boulders out of the way. Yeah. Whenever you see a mountain or a mountain pass, the roads that have to be built around that mountain, it's hard work. Yeah. How much better would it have been to be able to remove the mountain? Of course, we don't always have those things in the natural, so we work with what we have. But our words, do you understand? Our words, speaking to the mountain, speaking to the problem, speaking to the thing that is in the way. You have been authorized. Real faith speaks to a mountain. It does not turn and tuck tail and run. It speaks to something that is huge, that is enormous, that is threatening, that is in the way. And Jesus said that if you would believe in your heart, then you get to speaking. You have to have word in you or this will not work for you. It's spiritual life. Yes. It's not just life. It's not a little class that we take and we write down our things so that we can just meditate or say these things out. Like a little, I would call it the levers in life. We're just pressing levers, whatever. That's not this. This is a life that looks at the Word of God. And then when an enemy comes up, sees it, calls it what it is, understands that it's an enemy, and that there is no retreat, and looks and starts to speak to the mountain. And in this verse, it talks about speaking three times. And the enemy will try to wear you down so that you stop speaking. You have to speak to these things. They are enemies. Remember what we said in the offering. They're destructions. Things arrayed against you. Things that have come to stop you. Things that have come to block your way to success in any arena. These are mountains. And that Jesus would say in this lesson to the disciples, I want you to speak. Yes. If you speak, it would have to listen to you. Amen. And then the beauty of verse 24. Oh, thank God we don't have to wait to see it before we receive it. Yeah. Why? Because that's another realm. Yes. Amen. That's the natural realm. The natural realm you see, we see things all around us, proof all around us, and it doesn't require any faith. You know, that's why you don't call the sun coming up in the morning a miracle. Yeah. No, there are laws, natural things that cause us to see that. God set it in motion, but it's natural. Yes. It's natural in the sense of its operation. Yes. No, for us, when you're operating by the Spirit, you can never allow yourself to assess it by what you can see, because you're going to change what you can see. This is the operation of faith, is believing. You don't need to see it. That sets you free from having to check everything that is around you. The natural could never compare to the realm of the Spirit, could never compare to the answers that are there, could never compare to the covenant in blood that gave us those rights and inheritances. Amen. There is no comparison to the realm of the Spirit. That's why Jesus says, you speaking against in a mountain, the natural emphasis would be, it's a mountain. But Jesus' emphasis is not the mountain. He said, you just get rid of that. You speak. You speak and believe in your heart. It won't work if you don't believe in your heart. You do the talking. You do the putting out. You do the destroying and the tearing down. You speak to your enemies. You command them to change. And when it looks like it's not changing, you have a verse that says, oh no, I received it when I prayed. I received it before I ever saw it. And this is the spiritual revelation of faith. We got called names for it. We got called names for it. Why? Because the mental ones didn't understand that we were participating in spiritual laws, in spiritual things that will work for every blood-bought believer. Every blood-bought believer has the right to believe with the heart and speak. And I can guarantee you, you are not speaking enough. You need to start talking. Talking to things, talking. We bring it in and we think, and I know that we increase and I know that we start talking, but I'm telling you, you are a speaking spirit. Amen. The word is in you. Put that word in there strong and then speak from that place. That place will drown out all other voices. We'll drown out all other circumstances. Because I'm telling you, if the devil gets voice in our life, gets movement in our life, we're not speaking enough. Now, remember what I said. You cannot speak from an empty place. And the Christian life is not about works. It's about flow. It's about you're real to me and I'm real to you. It's not about a religion. It's a person. It's real, this relationship that we are conducting with heaven. And he said to me when I was standing there, he said, you tell them to pull out the stops. You tell them, I want them speaking. I want them talking to things that are hurting them, that are standing in their way. If they want things changed, they are authorized to speak and speak and speak. And you may feel surrounded at first, especially if you're not speaking much. You may find that you are begin a whirlwind of speaking, speaking, speaking. You are to speak the word of God. You are to speak what he wrote for us. You are to speak it from your spirit man, which is truth and life. You are to speak and believe. You don't need to look at the circumstances. They are going to change. They are going to be removed. Start thinking about what it looks like when it's removed. You are allowed to use and engage your Holy Ghost imagination, because whatever you can imagine, he's better, he's bigger, he's stronger. Well, that's not true in my life. You are not doing Mark 11, 23 and 24. We're doers of the word. We're doers of the anointed script that was put in our hands. We leave church charged because our enemies are there, but your life should be. And that one was removed and that fell and that came down. And I don't know how he did that, but it's gone. And I was so taken with this. And then one day he removed it from me. That is our life. You are going to be withstood, but you need to sit at the table, Psalm 23, that he prepared, and you need to eat of that bread, his word. You need to drink of that blood, rights, covenant, privileges, privileges. That's the table you eat from. That's where you live. And you turn your back to your enemies. He talks about the valley of the shadow of death. You think he doesn't understand the valley of the shadow of death? And yet says to us, I will fear no evil. Amen. I will not fear evil. Why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They protect me. His word in us comes out. It protects our life. It may look a certain way. Who cares? It doesn't matter. What matters is the seed of the word that is inside you to change it. Amen. To change it. Amen. You're not to become enamored with the problems or rehearse the problems when he made you something. Become what you were made. Put the word of God in your mouth. Start speaking. Start talking. Start talking. Speaking to things, commanding them to change. Do you know there is no life in rehearsing the problem? Do you know it gets worse when you speak it over and over? Do you know that the words that you use, the devil will use like a loop to come back, to condemn you, to judge you, to slander you? We are moving into deeper things. The enemy will try to withstand you. These are spiritual weapons that Jesus gave his disciples, and we are his disciples. Believing. When you walk out of a prayer that where you've asked God for something, don't you take that up again. Don't take it up again. It means you didn't believe. You didn't rehearse it properly. There's a finality to giving it to him. Everything after that is about what are we saying? What are we seeing in the realm of the spirit, not the realm of the natural? God is offering us something totally different, than most of us even know. And there are enemies, yes, but there's enemies for everyone. For everyone. If you're born, you're going to deal with things. And if you don't have the Lamb of God, they're going to break you or change you or steal from you or rob from you in some form or fashion. But the life that is built on the Word, it says, goes from glory to glory, not jaded to bitterness. It's different. We have things that come against us. But it's like Paul said, you know, he would always counter. He would say, you know, we're this, but, you know what I mean? We're this, but we're not this. We're, you know, we're distressed, but we're not forsaken. I didn't memorize the verse. I have memorized it many times and it's gone for me right now. But if you read that verse with the spirit of faith, you'll say that he's literally doing, yeah, this came against us. This is what it felt like, but we're not that. This, but we're not this. And they were facing dark times in Asia and other places. But Paul understood spiritually how to win. How to win. And I know what you're thinking. Some people think, well, he didn't win. He was martyred. Paul said, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should stay, which is better for you, or if I should go. Now, does that sound like a man who has no choices? Yeah. Why? He looked like he had no choices, but there's something else going on. Yeah. Sometimes we look like we're surrounded, like we don't have choices. Oh, you have a choice. Amen. You have lots of choices. Amen. And it begins with word in the heart, speaking. Speaking. You can speak the problem. You can identify with that problem. Till it shapes you. And listen, I'm not being sarcastic. I know. I've lived this. It can define who you are. You take a problem and it actually takes over your mouth. Takes over your heart. Takes over who you are. Takes over your reference points. Takes over the shape of who you are. Because that pressure has come to push you into something. And God help us when we begin to agree with it. Listen, I'm going to say this. One of the major tactics that the devil will use against believers is confusion. Confusion is a big one. Shame is another big one. Shame will make you look at yourself and your weaknesses, so you're not going to be bold. You're not going to stand in your authority properly. But confusion is what makes you doubt yourself. And when he can get you thrown off balance, then he buffets. Then he's coming. And somehow nothing you do now is right, or it's all you. If you would just do this right, if you would just do that right, if you would just, you need to speak to that. You need to talk to that. God does not talk to you like that. That's not how he talks to his children. You need to speak. Well, how do I speak that? You spirit that's coming against my mind, telling me that I'm not good enough, that I can't get the answers, that I can't hear from God, I answer you. I answer you. You are a mountain that is formed against me. You've come to destroy things that God wants me to have. And I speak the word of God, and I say, I have the mind of God. You will not prevail over me. I cast you down. I will not participate or speak or agree with anything that is of confusion. I am not confused. The answers of God are in my spirit, and I draw them up by his word and by speaking in tongues. And you will be amazed how much we don't do that. We hurt, and when we hurt, we speak. Oh, we speak from that place. And God understands us. That's why he wrote a whole book about how not to do it that way. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Yes. And they that love it, love what? Life or death? Some people, you cannot wrestle those death words out of their mouth. You are responsible for it. But God said when he stood them up, he said, choose life or death in Deuteronomy. He recognizes that we can choose. He recognizes that the human race is going to have pressure constantly to choose wrong. But he's telling us over and over and over, this is happening, fear not. This is happening, don't be dismayed. Do you know when Paul said to Timothy, you haven't been given a spirit of fear? Do you know that he was the pastor over like the biggest church in Ephesus? And at that time, the persecution against the church was wicked white hot. And it was not going to throw you in jail. That's the kind of stuff where they cut your head off and stick your head up on a spike. It was that brutal kind of thing going on. And Paul writes this verse. Seems a little unreasonable to me. Fear not. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Why? Why is he saying this? Because there's another realm. And it does not look like the natural realm. And it's stronger, and it's better, and it's bigger. And it's peace in the midst of the storm. Why? Because I like the way Pastor Nancy says it best. You've been authorized. You've been authorized. You have been authorized to move things, to change things, to put things back in place. You have a God-given right to walk this planet healed and whole. You have a right to be sound in your mind. You have a right to have peace in your inner man and lay your head down at night. You have a right for your life to go right. You have a right for the privileges that have been purchased with blood to be executed. But you will have to do Mark 11, 23 and 24. And I have good news. Once you get into a rhythm of speaking, I mean really looking at the thing and speaking to it. Once you begin to exercise your senses, remember Paul talked about it. We don't stay in the milk. We get onto the meat. We get onto the meat because we exercise our senses to great effect in the realm of the spirit. Great effect. And God will take his time raising you up. Well, really, he's working on your time. But he'll raise you up and he'll make you strong on the inside. And you will see that things will fall off of you and that you can be trusted and that you have your senses discerned so that the enemy can't come and deceive you, pick you off, make you fall. You have to have your senses exercised so that the devil cannot pull you into the realm of the flesh. If you're a fleshly Christian, you're on dangerous ground. No, God won't leave you, and he'll help you grow up. But you lose skill every time you act in the flesh, every time that you handle something in the flesh, when God offers you a spiritual way to learn, to grow, you are losing skill. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. Let's talk about David. And let's go to verse 45. I mean, nothing beats this. Nothing beats this. Actually, let's go to 44. And the Philistine said to actually go back to 43. Let's go to 42. This is so good. We could go right back to the beginning. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. That's what the enemy does. For he was but a youth and ruddy, and he was good looking, fair countenance, and he's young. And nothing is written in the word unless it's an example for you. You have to see yourself in these scriptures, because although the fight is now spiritual, those enemies are the same. Those giants still need to be slain and come down. And if you notice, it's not about how big and how trained David is in terms of the art of war, but he had the art of war in the spirit. He knew God. Okay? So this is a mirror for us. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? That's what staves means. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. So he's putting on a show. He's getting loud. And you know, there's been 40 days that have passed of him mocking and ridiculing the very ones that had authority over him and didn't use it. Yeah. Now, this is what it looks like. This is what a Christian life looks like. You might get into some skirmishes and have some battles, but when the big things show up, you're going to stay on the back side of the hill running in terror when this big mouth, who's got the power to execute his threat, a lifetime. Yeah. It's not a fake threat. But that's what the Christian life looks like without word and without fellowship with God. Yeah. David had both. Amen. So the Philistine is talking, and he's loud, and he's berating, and he's breaking. And what's he doing? Another word for this is he's buffeting. Yeah. He's pounding. And he's pounding. Like, we always tease each other in my family about, we don't mind, you know, we can do snoring and stuff as long as it's not rhythmic. If we know that next cycle is coming, it just wears us down. We just want to kill you. That's what we want to do. You know, a grunt here and there is okay. A little bit of loud breathing, we're good. But if we know it's rhythmic, that's it. We don't want nothing to do with you. You will be shunned. I'm teasing. But anyway, this is buffeting. This is what it looks like. In the realm of the spirit, this occurs all the time. There's a pounding. Yes. And the threat is real.
Yes. Come on.
It's real.
True.
And so he's insulting. And he's coming. And the Philistine said to David, and he rolls out the threat. He lays down the gauntlet. So you notice, this is not getting... the battle is not dwindling. It's dialing up. It's getting hotter. Yes. And the Philistine said to David, because the enemy always speaks. Yes. And what are you going to do if you don't speak? He's speaking. You speak. Remember, we talked about Jesus. He answered the devil specifically for the words and the temptations that were brought. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Now, that's a pretty picture. Come to me, and I'm going to rip you limb from limb, and the animals are going to eat you. I'll slay you, and then I'll throw your butt. So you'll be dishonored. You'll be humiliated. Come to me. And this is how the enemy speaks. Then said David to the Philistine, I love this. He lists. This is the picture of a born-again believer that has the word in their heart and is speaking now to the threat, the very real threat that will happen if the word doesn't meet it. You come to me with a sword. So he's listing his weapons. And a spear and with a shield. So he lists all of his assets. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. When a name is given and that name is backed, he's talking about the power of Almighty God. Amen. These are our words. Yeah, you come to me with that. But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I'm not coming to you in my own strength. I'm not coming to you with what I got to lay down on the table. I'm coming to you with the one who backs me. Glory to God. In the name of the Lord of hosts. So he's not even just talking about the Lord. He's listing out his army. Hey, David knows. David knows what's going down. And he knows he's backed by God and the mighty angels of God. The God of the armies of Israel, what's he saying? He's backing us, not you. Even though they haven't acted right, David knows covenant. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And that's what the devil does. When he comes against us, he is defying God. And remember that. You're not alone when that attack comes. And you have to know that, that you are backed in the name of the Lord of hosts. And all this assembly, well, let me go back, that they may know there's a God in Israel. What does that mean? There's going to be a show. We're not believing this just by faith. There's circumstances and there's consequences for what you've done by coming against the person of God. So that they may know. I mean, Daniel experienced it over and over. And they knew there was a God in Israel, even though Israel looked plundered. But Daniel wasn't. You want to be that person. This is not hard. This is not hard. Remember what I told you before? I said when Craig went to Israel, something rolled in. It was like a cloud. And I was unable to be afraid. Now, if I felt fear, I would be speaking. Calling it out by name. You don't white knuckle it. You start talking because that's the threat. But I was unable. I was unable to feel afraid. And I thought, and I said this before, oh God, you make us look good. Why? Because there's, remember the verse that says, you'll know your God and you'll do great exploits, but it comes out of the knowing. And he comes to you as well as you going to him. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. I mean, that looks impossible. Do you understand? He's not going to save with sword and spear. Like, what's going to happen? And he didn't save with sword and spear. He saved with a rock slung out of a slingshot by the power of the Holy Ghost and angels. And then came the swords and spears. Right? This assembly shall know. The Lord likes a show. The devil likes a show too, but God shows up for the show. Amen. This assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. When you're facing troubles, it's you speak to it, the specificity of it, whatever the threat is, and it ends with, and he will give you, foul thing, into my hands. These words are so loaded with the anointing and with power. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. I love this. Everybody loves this. That David hasted, it means he took off in a hurry and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took a stone. Now, listen, if you think that is so symbolic, the stone is the word. The stone is the word. How did he beat Goliath? He believed God's word, he answered the threat. And then he took out the word, basically, and he threw it. Because God's word is always referred to as the rock, the stone, remember? Jesus is considered the Gable stone. Says he's the rock of offense to the worlds, right? And he slang it. Is that a newfie word? Sounds pretty close. And smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. So this is violent. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So when David said the last word, it matters. The last word matters. When he said the last word, the next thing, the next course of events was this ugly giant is lying on his face on the ground dead. Glory to God. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Now this I love. I love this. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. Yes. He's defeated, and this is a sign, this is a symbol of great humiliation for the one that's dead, but especially for the armies. This is their dread champion. Yes. And David is not finished. Once he falls to the ground, he goes over and runs and stands on top of him, and he took his sword. This is justice. And drew it out of the sheath. I mean, the Bible's describing to us in detail the different parts that happened, because it's important. And slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they did what? They fled. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, it says that the devil did three major. We don't know what other ones there might have been, but three major temptations. And then it says he stood off for a more opportune time. That cycle was done. That never happened again. That was one. Jesus won. Amen. Things will come against you, and you have to answer it, answer it, answer it, answer it, until it's won. Yes. You have to have the job. And listen, God is not waxing poetic. When he says that David stood on him and cut his head off, and the rest of the surrounding armies, they're not as strong as the army, but they're not as strong as Goliath. That was their strongest one. So David started with him first. Remember what Jesus said? You bind the strong man, and then the other ones will be easier to win. They'll just run off because you've already exerted the most force to tear down the core. Amen? You know, I said, I think it was, I don't know when I was talking about Jesus tempted, I guess it was Wednesday, when Jesus was tempted, I said, you know, maybe some people, we don't know if he was in the body or not, but you know, he had to be in the body, because why would the angels need to save him? You don't need to save a spirit. You know, you cast yourself down from the pinnacle and you won't hit your foot and dash your foot against the stone. So anyway, that's just a little note I wanted to throw in. They fled. We're all about them fleeing, getting to the point where the enemy is fleeing, getting to the point where the enemy is running in the opposite direction. You know, for parents in here, you've got to be David. You got to tell those things. You're not coming here. You have to be the one and teach your kids. Teach your kids. Start speaking. No, don't say that. Don't say you're afraid. Don't say that. Don't say that. Well, it's true. No, not in your spirit. It's not. Not in your spirit. That's where we live, in our spirit. If people are not interested in the realm of the spirit, God will allow you to be born again. He's not trying to keep you out, but you will know nothing of true Christianity. If it offends you that you, things that you are supposed to answer, things like fear, and that you have to watch what you say, and that you have to make sure that you're speaking the word out of your spirit, then you will remain a very baby Christian and you will not have victory, but your spirit will be saved. So we are interested, let me go back to this, in our opposition, fleeing. This is very important. Yes. Religious Christianity does not focus on the fleeing of the enemy. They focus on our troubles and our sorrows, and we all got them. And some got them worse than others. And they didn't get a fair shake. But there's a way out, but you're going to have to face it. You have to face it. And it will listen to you. It might be in degrees, but it will listen. It has to listen to a born-again believer who believes the word and speaks. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted. You standing and answering and getting the victory will cause those around you to rise. That's why God loves a remnant. He loves when a remnant is faithful and will stand, because it will. The day will come when God will use that to break open the realm of the spirit, and he can do more of what he wants to do. And there's rewards for that. There's rewards for people that are faithful when the land is dry and dusty. I was saying to my brother, I said, you know, we are so used to living in a cold environment. Do you know how many people I've asked to church? Yeah. I mean, I'm always asking people to church. And I mean, none of them are here. I'm just saying. We are so used to planting seeds, but there's a revival coming. Amen. And our lives counted. Yes. Because we were faithful. And we're not the only people through the ages that God has used as a remnant to be faithful, because he's going to use this place and he's going to bring glory, not on perfect vessels, but on people that wanted him. Yes. And with that movement will come something that it's like a tidal wave, and no man can bring that. We just participate. We just do our part. But it's God's power. Amen. It's God's power. So I like this. I mean, you almost have the tendency to go, yeah, now you're shouting. Now you're shouting. You weren't shouting before, you know. But we won't say that. We'll be glad that they arose and they shouted and pursued the Philistines. So all the fear is gone. When you've got a Holy Ghost person, and listen, you got to know that when David was hastening, they thought he was going to die. They thought he's young. He didn't know what he's doing. He's not even in the army. They thought he was going to die. So you want to die? Die. You'll be the first one kind of thing. But they stood back and watched him. But when they saw that God was on him and that this impossible thing, they're standing and he's dead. And the Philistines are picking up their stuff and they're getting ready to go. This infusion of strength, an infusion of vision, a reminder of who they were, all of them got at the same time and they took off. They took off after the army. And so this is what being around people that know how to answer it, when it looks like they're going down and all of a sudden they got the last laugh. Something changed and it had to take God. That's the people you want to be around. People that know how to stay on the word. Stay on the word. And you can, let me say this, you can accelerate many things by upping your saying, your speaking. Frequency matters. Frequency matters. Speaking. And we're back to this. So they gained strength and pursued the Philistines and shouted until they came to the valley to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sherim or Sherem, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. When you are speaking, just remember, moments ago, maybe a few hours, all looked lost and looked lost for 40 days. They're beat down. They're concerned. They're worried. They think David's a scruffy little kid. They did. And now they're running back. The enemy's defeated. And all that was the enemy's. When you make a camp for war and all the things that have thousands of people, all the equipment, everything is in those tents. And now you go and freely take. There's no one to stop you. It matters that you see the other side of that battle. It matters that that testimony is yours and that the results of it is something that you forever hold up as a trophy for the goodness of God. Making much of the Lord, making much of his conquest, making much of his might and his strength, doing things that we can't do. And yet, he wants us a part of all of it. Amen. It's never just him. It's our part with him. I'll take you into the promised land, but you have to obey me. Why? Because he's the only reason that victory exists. It's his way or no way. Because he's the one who's going to give us victory. So how can he give us victory if we won't do the things that he says? Right? It makes sense. His love is unconditional. His success is not. His love is all... He loves us. It's settled forever. But the success has everything to do with how we handle his word and us doing what he tells us to do. And David took the head of the Philistine. Well, it's a trophy, right? And brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. That's beautiful. That is magnificent, Lord. Thank you for putting that in there so we get to read it all the time. See, when you... David answered Goliath, but he answered according to the word. And then he ran. You don't run at a giant unless you've spoken right and you've got the word. Then you're going to run and heaven will back you. And that's what we saw here. Heaven backed David. And heaven backs us. Heaven backs us. Glory to God. Okay. Don't listen to your enemy. It's important that he doesn't get your attention. Don't give him your attention. When Goliath mocked Israel, they never answered him. They hid. There's no success in hiding. And, you know, with the word, we need to be hearing it all the time. Because that's where faith comes from. Spirit life, spirit words, spirit actions. You're learning a breath. Jesus said it exactly right. You had to be born again. You had to be born again spiritually, and then you have to grow up. You have to learn how to walk. You have to learn how to eat. You have to learn, oh, well, I don't know about that. You have to learn. So us growing up, we don't know how our bodies grew, but we had to eat, and we had to participate in the growth. Right? And if we did that, we would grow up. The spirit life is the same. You don't just ask Jesus to come in and not eat, not learn how to walk, not learn how to get to the point of running and nourishing yourself. So you can hear a pastor say things like, you got to be in the word. And we'll hear it. I know I did it too. But you'll hear, I got to be in the word. And it almost can sound like, yes, pastor, we know we need to read the word. If you don't read the word, you are starving. You are starving. You can't wing this thing. You can't. It only comes by eating and growing up, eating the word, hearing it until as soon as something comes, you throw it down. You get so good at that action of nope, no. You ever wake up and you don't know why? But you wake up and like there's oppression waiting for you. It could be for some reason like you've cut yourself like 6 times that day. And I am not joking. Like the door hit your toe and you sliced your finger and it just irritants all around you. And it feels dark. Do you know what I'm saying? I know it sounds funny. And there's always a place where we can make light of it. And that's, oh, I think sometimes we need to. But you just wake up and you don't know why, but it means the attack is on. You're waking up. What do you feel? You feel, right? So now, and this is the test. You can agree with it, and you can start talking, speaking your way out of it. We start at home. We start with the basics, right? Speaking to atmospheres. And I said this to the Lord not very long ago. I was withstanding something. And sometimes when an oppression comes with me, it doesn't have anything attached to it. Sometimes it does, but when it's like a blazing, it's like a wall. Like something has come to oppress me, to push me down. And there doesn't seem to be, everything's good. So why is this here? And I said to the Lord, Lord, I have resisted this. I've resisted this pressure. I've resisted it all day long. And I said, I feel like it stands off, but it's still there. It doesn't leave where the sunshine comes out again. And I conquered you. I beat you. I run you off. And you know what? And I wasn't expecting him to answer me. He said, when that happens, he said, get your eyes on the word. Physically. Physically. Because I'm speaking the word. That's what I'm doing. I'm speaking the word. Remember, there's the sling and there's the stone. Well, it's the power of the Spirit that makes the word slay things in our lives. It's the power of the Spirit that energizes and throws things forward. And I mean, aren't you just glad that it took, like David, it was one shot. Yeah. The anointing is, when it's in the right place, it's one shot. It's not throwing and throwing and throwing. God wants us of single focus. He wants us efficient. He wants us confident. And when he said that to me about getting the word before my eyes, I thought, well, I read the word like all the time. Like maybe I'll miss a day if I'm on a plane somewhere. You know what I mean? And the next day I'm back into my rhythm. But he said to me, my mind went back and I realized that that day I didn't have the word open before me. I just kind of got up and I started speaking. But it didn't leave. Yeah. It just got a little lighter. Yeah. Yeah. These are key things, I'm telling you. Yeah. These are key things that are being shared. Yeah. You know, Mary Chris, when you go to the Philistines, yeah. they'll be there. But Jesus is there first. He's out ahead of you. But it's important because these things they're in the toolkit of how to handle oppression and why things come and why they linger. I'm going to skip through my notes here for a second. I want to read you something. Is this it right here? Where is it? Yeah. I'll do this one right here. Okay, don't believe everything you feel. Okay, so when the devil opposes us, he sends an influence that can be felt to persuade us to believe his threat and accept them. So I may take something like common, like waking up and feeling like the world is bleak, feeling oppression when you wake up, whether there's circumstances that dictate that or not, that's your practicing place. You need to start talking to it because God wants you even. Nothing changed in the realm of the spirit. That's where you practice, keeping yourself even. No ups and no downs. Well, we don't mind ups, but no downs. The spirit of fear may come, but you are to resist it and talk to it and tell it to leave you. Now, this is the part I wanted to get to. You answer the word specifically. I've been talking about that now for the last 3 or 4 services. That you answer the word specifically that the devil speaks to stop their movement and their entrance against the mind. So Pastor Nancy talks in her book, Answer It. She said she was doing a project that she thought would be a great blessing. She said, but a demon showed up. And she felt it. And he said to her, this project's going to fail. And it will cost the ministry a lot of money. And it will be a great embarrassment to the ministry. So she can feel the power of that lie. What does that bring? Feelings of dread. Yeah. Feelings, it's a bad feeling. So she resisted the fear. This is very important. She resisted that fear because, first of all, she's trained herself to know that that's not God. Whereas some people, if you're not trained, you would believe it. You just let the project fall apart and I'm afraid. No, you're not allowed to respond that way. That brings defeat. But she resisted the fear and it stood back. She said, but she didn't answer the words it spoke about the project. It's going to fail. It's going to be an embarrassment. It's going to be a waste of money. So she said, in the realm of the spirit, the words were still moving. These are things of the spirit, things that pertain to the spirit, but they're very real. And it was trying to gain access to her thought life. It's talking, right? When a demon's words are still moving, unless severed and answered, they give access. Let me say that again. When a demon's words are still moving, see, this is why it's so critical that you're talking and you're answering. Because if you don't, that thing's going to come. It's going to hit your mind until you open up a little door and then you let it in. And guess what? The very words that that thing spoke to you, you'll speak them as if they're your words. Dad Hagen talks about that. He talks about a man who died he was 39. He was about to turn 40. And he died. And people were so, why did he die? And one of his family members said, he said his whole life, I'm going to die before I'm 40. Now, who do you think put that thought in that man's mind? There's not a spirit telling you that, because that's not a destruction designed for you. Right? But it was him. And because he didn't do this, he didn't have skill, that thing, he felt it. I just know it. He felt it spiritually. He felt it. Then he agreed with it. And that was his demise. What he needed to do was answer it, because that is a lie compared to the scriptures. God promises us long life. So what those things are designed to do, the devil wants to get his words in your mouth till you're agreeing, till you're saying and speaking. So when a demon's words are still moving, unless severed, how do we sever them? With our mouth. Right? Goliath's head got severed. The loud-mouthed giant, the vile one, the vile words, got his head severed. Right? With the sword. This is all very symbolic. It is the sword, the words of life that severs the movement of demonic words, demonic assignments, things that are coming against. And if you don't open your mouth, you may not give full access. Like, I agree with you that I will. You may not give full access. But you're still giving access. If you're not answering, those words are moving. They're trying to take shape. They're trying to come into this realm. They're trying to have full fruition. You want full fruition of the word of God, but you don't want the things that the devil is trying to plant. You don't want that. It's like if you grew up in a home and wrong words were spoken over you. I mean, we hear about this all the time. You cannot allow yourself to agree with those words. I don't care if you did everything that those words said. Once you're born again, now you've got new words. And those words that you speak will sever the movement of the words that made it a reality, because those words were moving in you, moving against you. It reminds me of George Mueller. You know, I taught about him, but he was a bad kid. No, he was. He was a rotten apple. In the sense that he was not behaving right, not good to his parents, a thief. And he was kind of narcissistic. I hate using that word in the pulpit, but I think most of us know what it means. That's just demons. It's another name for demons, a personality cluster that needs to be booted out with the word. Because God don't make people like that. So you can get rid of it. You can totally get rid of it. But he would steal. He would steal, and he liked it. He thought it was like he was an intellectual that looked down his nose at other people, and he felt if he could steal from you, you deserved it because you were a dummy. And he was smart enough to kind of swindle you. He took pleasure in it, glee. But when Jesus came in, it totally changed him to the point where we know that for the rest of his life, he spent his life managing money to benefit orphans, to benefit those that were without. And do you see, the word came in and totally changed him. But if you're here and words have been spoken over you, and I don't, like I said, I don't care if you did what was accused or just words, or there's favorites in the family, or there's black sheep in the family, this term that we were told when we grew up, which just means you weren't treated as well as the rest of the family. And if this is moving in you, you better put a stop. You don't get with family and rehearse how mom and dad missed it. You don't get together and rehearse how Uncle so-and-so spoke these words against me. You don't rehearse those things. They will continue forever. You won't heal from them. You won't rise above them. You give those words movement. You have to sever as if they never existed. They don't have power over you. Poverty doesn't have power over you. You're born again. There's a conqueror in you. Nothing of you, nothing of you should agree with something that is not word-based. What God says about your life. You need to tear those thorns out. You need to sever them. You need to answer them very specifically. Very specifically. You're not ashamed. You're not rejected. You are not. You are not. And you have to put a stop to those things. And when you do, they will lose their momentum. They will lose their power. And the power of Almighty God will be able to flow. Because the ground is clear. And the enemy has been defeated. Trust me, it's an enemy. It's such an enemy. Demons want to perform the words that they speak. Listen, let me say this. When things move against our mind, against our sexuality, against our bodies, like sickness, there's so many realms. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, when we're talking about finances, you can use Mark 11, 23. He didn't say that. Whatever the mountain is. Because your identity's been bought and purchased. So his idea, Satan's idea, is I can't let them believe that. So I'm going to hit them with every feeling. I'm going to make them fall. Get them in sin. He will create such a case around you. So you just throw up your hands and go, that's it. This is who I am. This is what I am. I've tried and tried and I can't get out of it. Well, that's not what the word says. One moment you were those things. The next minute the blood cleansed you. And now you have words to speak. The words. Not empty words. Faith words. Words with power in them. Words with believing in them. We abort those word assignments so that they fail. They never gain traction and they peter out. They can't. That's why you don't give your attention to the devil. If he can get your attention, that's just another way of saying you're looking at it. You're studying it. You're trying to figure it out. There must be a way out. There's so many things in life where there's no way out. No real way out. Right? But in the realm of the spirit, in the heavenly realms, there's always a way out. Always a way out. And speaking God's word will make you strong. Oh, I can't stop eating at night. What? My mom told me a funny story, not a funny story, a really nice story about a lady that she grew up with. And this lady, this sounds funny, but she was known, her favorite food was potatoes. Funny, right? It's like, oh, that's whatever. I was chips, French fries, mashed, whatever. You know, I don't know. I never met a potato I didn't like either. So, but she said this woman was known for it. She just, that was her favorite thing with everyone was potatoes. And so I don't know what brought her to this point. I don't think she was born again. She wasn't even born again. But she got it into her head that she was not going to say anymore, I love potatoes. I can't stop eating potatoes. My favorite thing. She started saying, oh, they're okay. I like them, but I'm not controlled by them. I don't need them. She began this barrage to try to retrain her mind. And in the natural, you can go very far with that. But how much more the spirit when all of you is lined up? But you know, when you say those things, it's because, why does it change? Because the power of heaven backs up the word. It's the power then that is released. This is very important for us to understand. This is not New Age. You know, we're getting going to align with the universe. That's a counterfeit. Okay, so just so you know, I think everybody here knows that. But I'm telling you, why do we do it? It's not our actual words that's everything. It's the power backing those words. It's the power that is released in this transaction with heaven speaking life over death. We speak life to change things so that it doesn't end in death or the things that are accompanying it on that awful road to completion. Wherever we are on the road to something, you can, it's not too late. You can turn around. Amen. Even if you can see in yourself sitting there, because I know the Holy Ghost goes throughout the room, through every spirit, you know? And you say, well, but I'm this far down the road when it comes to this. It does not matter. You don't have to spend another day agreeing with the wrong things, agreeing with bondages, agreeing with those words. God will come and he will take you out. He will walk you out. And listen, can I say this? I don't ever want to make it sound like God's processes are long. I think he deals with us. But I do know this, sometimes when it takes time, something gets put in you. The learning of, that didn't work. Oh, I delayed it here because of that. I don't think I'm really believing. I think I'm saying some things, but not really believing because I keep dragging it back up in my conversation. And that journey, if you're avid, if you're turned towards the Lord, then it's almost like it's a process where God will strengthen your faith and pull things out of you so that it's very real and it's very strong. You're built strong. Whether something is light or heavy, it won't crack you. It won't break you. It's very important. So I'm never an advocate for things taking long because I feel like many of the areas in my life where there was quick correction was because I was doing the word properly, because light had come and I'm like, oh, I'm out of line here, and I click back into place and that power flows. Yeah. But then there are some things where I feel like, oh, the process of that, the process of that gave me a lot of different light in where the shadows were, if is maybe no better way of saying it than that. So this was a lesson today. When you walk out, if someone quizzes you at the door, and no one is, but if there was a quiz, it's answer it. Yes. It's Mark 11, 23, 24. And I believe it delights the believer because it puts you in a position where you're not hopeless. Yes. No matter what you feel, you're not. Yes. There is a way out. Yes. It reestablishes you and gets you on faith if the devil's knocked you off, or you're over here, or you're over here. Faith's very real. And it's so strong. So we have to leave here today making sure that there's a frequency and a solid in our speaking. Amen. You understand? This is very important, very key for our victory. Because Jesus, he's already done it. Nothing's heavy lifting for him. But for us to be doers of the word, this is important. Amen. Father, I thank you. Thank you. I thank you for them today, Lord. They've been so good, Lord. They've listened so well. I just praise you. I thank you for your goodness. This is an important message, Lord, because we have to overcome and we have to clear things out and we have to destroy things, Lord, that are trying to destroy us. We can't allow it, Father. Can't allow it anymore. So I thank you for your awesome word. Thank you for David, Lord, the way that he answered that giant. I thank God for the examples you gave us, that we would be just like them. We're supposed to be just like them. We worship you today, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. Glory to God. We worship you, Lord.